I'm so privileged today to introduce someone who needs no introduction. I was talking to some of his friends and team members. I said, do I call him Dr. Hummel? And they said, no, don't call him Dr. Hummel. Just call him Rand. So I don't know if I should call him Mr. Rand or Brother Rand or something like that to be a little more formal. But so thankful that Rand Hummel is able to be with us. I think most all of you are familiar with him. Maybe you've read some of the books that he's authored. He's traveled really all over the world to speak primarily to teens. That's his heartbeat. For many years, he was the assistant director of the Wilds here in North Carolina, and since 2007, he's been the director of the Wilds of New England. How many of you have been to the Wilds of New England? I got to be there this summer. It's absolutely beautiful, especially during the summer. I don't know that I'd want to be there during the winter, but during the summer, it's nice and cool and a wonderful place. And he's going to introduce some of the other camp staff and others who are here, but I've just asked him to come and bring God's word to us, and I look forward to hearing God's word through Brother Rand.
You know, when you get into ministry, this is called Ministry Chapel. And really, like just a few years from now, I trust that every single one of you have the privilege to minister, because it is a joy just to love people to the Lord. I'm serious. It's a great opportunity, a great privilege. And you'll find that you will probably learn a lot more from those you're serving than they learn from you. And I have so many stories of what campers have taught me. I'll share two. One, we had a camp. And I think it was summer camp, and this little guy, about 14, 15, one of those that just wore his ball cap to cover up most of his face. You could see his nose, but that's about it. I noticed he's all by himself, and not many other kids were around him. He was a little bit unique, you know. And one time when I was done preaching, he came up and said, I got a question for you. I said, what? When do you take out your garbage? Now, I've been in ministry a long time, and nobody's ever asked me that, okay? I said, you mean like at home or at camp? What do you mean? No, here at camp. I said, well, we usually do it like, you know, Mondays and Thursdays, and then we take it over to the trash truck. When I said that, the kid freaked out. You have your own trash truck? Is it a side loader or a rear loader? I said, it's a side loader. Do you want to see it? Oh, can I? I said, well, yeah. So the next day, Willie and I took him, got a pickup truck, and we got all the trash together, took it. We let him start it up, pull all the levers. This kid was freaking out. He was having so much fun. He jumps out. He says, who's going to take it to the landfill? I said, his name's Dave, but it's on Saturday, and you won't be here. I need to meet him. I said, okay. So I took him to the staff supper, introduced him to Dave. The kid had his Bible, handed it to Dave. Would you sign my Bible? I'm serious. I'm the preacher. I didn't get to sign his Bible. So I went to the sponsor. I met this kid. He's really into trash. They go, oh, you don't know the half of it. In the city where he lives, he has a special hat and a special shirt he wears on trash day. And if his parents don't have trash on trash day, he goes to his neighbors and steals their trash and puts it in front of his house. He has memorized the names of almost all the trash guys in this pretty big city where he lives. And he's invited and taken three of them to church with him. Now, why did I tell you that story? How many of us have even, like, thought about witnessing to our trash guys? And the kid was unique. He was different. He had a heart for the trash guys. And when you start to love people and love your God more than love you, then just hold on, because you're going to have a life of ministry that would just be an amazing thing. I was preaching one of our Christian Life seminars in North Carolina, about 1,000 in the auditorium there, and there's a kid right smack in the middle, tall kid, about 6'5", 6'6". He would not stop talking. And many of you have heard what I say. When I start Christian Life seminars, me and teens, and I say, okay, I want you to listen. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but if you talk, I'll say something generally. If I have to stop another time, I'm going to say, young man, young lady, no more. If I have to stop the third time, then I'm going to ask, like, you know, Crockett and Horn, come and rip your lips off your face, okay? And this kid wouldn't be quiet. And I finally said, dude, you're interrupting everything, okay? No more. I want you to sit down. I want you to be quiet. At which time, he stood up. He took his Bible, held it up like this, threw it across the auditorium, and told me to go to hell. Now, what do you do when you're in front of about 1,000 teenagers and somebody tells you to go to hell? I said, buddy, I can't. The people you will serve, they will face eternal consequences. We have the will of a loving God. That's for us to receive Christ. You have the privilege to share that for the rest of your life. But there's a will of a hateful devil, and that's for those to reject Christ. Eternal life, eternal death. Now, Satan, the thief, you know why he comes. He comes to steal and to kill. Jesus comes that we might have life and that we might have it even more abundantly. Jesus wants all life, eternally living in the presence of God. Satan wants all dead, eternally separated from our wonderful God. It was sad. But you know, when I looked at that boy, my heart went out to him, spent some time with him afterwards. But the only thing I can say is, unlike many, I will never, ever experience hell's eternal darkness. I won't. Jesus said, casting the unprofitable servant to outer darkness, there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jude talks about the blackness of darkness, the chains of darkness in 2 Peter, and the mist of darkness. It's a black. It's a dark. It's a mist. It's when it talks about the chains, it almost binds you. When I was a kid, I grew up in Pennsylvania, and there were a lot of coal mines, and we would go to the coal mine, go down hundreds of feet, and they would turn the lights out. And you can't see your hand in front of your face. And when God talks about the consequence of rejecting Jesus is darkness forever and forever and forever and forever. Because hell is the horrible home of no hope. And people reject our wonderful Lord. And we need to share with them how wonderful and forgiving our God is. But unlike many, I'll never see the eternal darkness. Unlike many, well, let me say this verse first, please. The Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand towards heaven that there may be a darkness over the land of Egypt, even a darkness which may be felt. And then it's called a thick darkness. Now, I know this is uncomfortable to think about the eternal consequence of rejecting Christ. Now, remember, salvation, what you will share with hundreds, I trust, salvation is not a choice between heaven and hell. Those are consequences. Salvation is a choice between Jesus Christ and your sin. We are sinners in need of a Savior. It is our sin that separates us from a holy God. For all have sinned and come short of God's glorious perfection. And those who love their sin and hold on to their sin and reject Christ, this is what God promises. Unlike many, I'll never experience hell's eternal fire. It's real, guys. Jesus said, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It's better thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands and go into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched. It says the same about your foot, eyes. My grandparents raised me. My folks split up and family blew apart. My grandmother was sweet. She was a Polish woman. She's about 4'11", both ways, and she was just wonderful. But when she was in her late 20s, she worked in an old mill they used to make lace. They had these great big rollers, like an old wash machine type thing. And as she was working, one of her sleeves got caught and started to pull her arm in. And not thinking, she took the other hand and pushed it. And it did. It smashed both hands to the point that she never had fingers again. And from 29 to 99, she basically lived with stubs. I'm telling you, it'd be better to go through a whole life with stubs than to spend 5 seconds in hell. Used to be a kid come to camp. He was cool. He didn't have any legs. He had a skateboard. He's fast. He'd jump with those stubs on that board and fly around. And then that turkey, I'm not kidding you, when he had to go in the dining hall, I don't know how he did it. Somehow he flipped that thing up, caught it with those stubs, and walked in the dining hall in his hands. He was really cool. Never complained. It'd be better to spend your entire life with absolutely no legs than 5 seconds in hell. Hell is real. And the people we love and the people we serve, they reject our Lord. This is where they go. And like many, I will never, ever experience hell's eternal wrath. When John saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? When we talk about God's wrath, the wrath of God, I want you to understand, it's not an invention of any overzealous preacher. It's a wrath against sin. And why? Why does God hate sin so much? They closed down the Garden of Eden and destroyed the world with a flood and sent his son to die such a horrific death. Why does God hate sin so much? I actually know the answer. Because he loves you guys so much. He does. And he knows the only thing that will separate us from him is our sin. He's a God of wrath. And then you go to Romans chapter 1. And you it's sometimes hard to understand sometimes the chastisement and the correction. But you know the ultimate of God's wrath? Is when God gets quiet. When individuals say, God, no, I don't want you. I want my sin. Leave me alone. I don't want you. I don't want you in my life. And at whatever point God says, really? You sure? Okay. The ultimate of God's wrath is when he gets quiet and gives to man that which he begs for. Man begs for God to leave him alone. Man begs for a life without him. As C.S. Lewis said, the lost enjoy forever the horrible freedom they have demanded. Hell is God's way of letting us have our own way in his absence forever and forever. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. Isn't that great? You have people that you're going to be able to give this truth to. To wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Aren't you glad? Aren't you thankful in your heart that God loves you so much he wants to deliver you from that? Unlike many, I will never, ever experience hell's eternal torment. I hate even to think about this. I have many family members who are probably here. In hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. I'm tormented in this flame. I have five brethren. They may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. But guys, we've got to understand, we're talking about forever and forever and forever. With no hope of escape. And probably one of the worst torments that any individual face is the torment of a conscience that pretended in school and played the game and didn't really, truly give and commit his life to Christ and looked back at the people that loved him and shared the gospel with him and he just kept saying, no, leave me alone. And they have forever and forever and forever to regret that. And if you really love people, just the thought of them living in loneliness, darkness, torment, the loneliness. Some people laugh and say, yeah, it's okay. I'm just going to get with my buddies and, you know, we'll kind of laugh our way and talk about good times. Mm-mm. Nope. The darkness, the torment, the loneliness of hell will keep those individuals separated from God and all others forever. We don't like to think about this. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Come on. We know our Lord died for the whole world. But so many say, I don't want you. They'll be punished with everlasting destruction. Everlasting, okay? From the presence of the Lord. Loneliness is real. You've probably had a sense of it sometime here in your life. Can you imagine? Never ever seeing anyone who is godly being separated from all that is good forever and forever and forever and forever. The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and forever. Wow. Eternal death. That is Satan's desire for us. But isn't it a privilege to know Christ so that will never, ever be in our lives? But there's a lot of people out there that need Jesus because our Lord wants to give us eternal life. Would you say this with me? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever I love those last two words, everlasting life. We talk about eternal death. We talk about everlasting life. Every single one of us in here will live somewhere forever and forever and forever and forever and forever. Wow. And our wonderful, precious Lord, He's given us so much, hasn't He? The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is, say just next two words, eternal life. And it's through Jesus our Lord, okay? This is a promise that God has promised, even eternal life. And guys, when God gives a promise, He never, ever, ever breaks His word. He promises eternal life. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again, receive you unto myself. Get this. Think about this. This is Jesus, the Son of God, talking that where I am, there you will be also. What a joy we have to look forward to. And what do we already have, Christian? Those of you who have rejected your sin and trusted Christ, whether you know it or not, you already have a number of moth-proof, rust-proof, burglar-proof treasures, a life that will never end, a gift that will never be lost, a hand out of which I'll never be snatched, a love from which I'll never be separated, a calling that will never be revoked, a foundation that will never be destroyed, an inheritance that will never fade away. This is what God gives us. It is eternal life, but it is wonderful, abundant life. It is such a joy. So if you ask me why I can't experience the horrors of hell, but will enjoy the joys of heaven, because God convicted me of my sin. I remember that day I was 7. I was in a service before my family blew apart. Whoever was preaching gave an invitation. All I knew was I was a sinner. I wanted God to forgive me. I leaned over to my parents, said, can I go? And they said, no, you can't. You're too young. And I was raised where you listen. But they didn't say I couldn't find a preacher after service was over. So I went to the lobby. I found him. I tugged at his pant leg. I said, could you show me how to have my sins forgiven? We went up in the choir loft and I trusted Christ. Now, my daughter, she got saved, quote unquote, when she was 3. Her and her brother got in a fight. They were at their grandmother's. They had to go out on the porch. And her wise brother, who was probably 6 at the time, said, it'd be a good time for you to get saved right now. So she did. A year or two later, probably 2 or 3 years later, I remember calling me into her bedroom and said, Daddy, do you remember when I got saved at Grammy T's? I said, I remember that day. I didn't get saved. I said, really? How do you know? I never asked Jesus to forgive me for my sin. We have to admit we're sinners, separated from this precious God. But God convicted me of my sin. His Spirit convinced me of the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. God's Spirit came into my heart. He sealed my salvation. Can you say the same? Can you? If somebody says to me, go to hell because they're angry at me, I will lovingly look at him and say, I really can't. I can't. I've got that taken care of through Jesus. I hope even you guys could say the same. Are you trusting Christ and Christ alone? I hope you are. I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus came so you and I could have life abundantly joyful here in this earth, eternally wonderful in heaven. What motivates you to be in ministry? It's not going to be the money. It's probably not going to be sitting at home getting emails 10, 15, 30 a night thanking you for the good work you're doing with parents' kids. What's going to motivate you? Eternity is forever. Aren't you glad that Jesus loves you? Sing with me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even. Sing it again, but this time say you and point to somebody around you. I am so glad that Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. I am so glad that Jesus loves you. Jesus loves even you. Guys, He loves us and He's given us the privilege to share that love with the world. The best way to learn is go work at one of these camps. Yeah. Go have a wonderful life serving your God. God bless you. You are dismissed.